Well, this morning I have got a title, Your Problem, a Chance for God. And if I asked you, for example, today, how are you? You probably would say, I'm all right, you know, but the truth, the fact could be that one big problem is bothering you and burdening you. I want to really look into it this morning. And to begin with, I want to read to you a true story. After being nearly snowbound for 2 weeks last winter, a Seattle man departed for Miami Beach, where he was to meet his wife the next day at the conclusion of her business trip to Minneapolis. They were looking forward to pleasant weather and a nice time together. Unfortunately, there was some sort of mix-up at the boarding gate, and the man was told that he would have to wait for a later flight. He tried to appeal to a supervisor, but was told the airline was not responsible for the problem and it would do no good to complain. Upon arrival at the hotel the next day, he discovered that Miami Beach was having a heat wave and its weather was almost as uncomfortably hot as Seattle's was cold. The desk clerk gave him a message that his wife would arrive as planned. He could hardly wait to get to the pool area to cool off and quickly sent his wife an email message, but due to his haste, he made an error in the address. His message, therefore, arrived at the home of an elderly preacher's wife whose even older husband had died only the day before. When the grieving widow opened her email, she took one look at the monitor, let out an anguished scream, and fell to the floor dead. Her family rushed to the room where they saw his message on the screen. Dearest wife, departed yesterday, as you know. Only just now checked in. Some confusion at the gate. Appeal was denied. Received confirmation of your arrival tomorrow. Your loving husband, P.S., things are not as we thought. You're going to be surprised how hot it is down here. Well, my goodness. I mean, that sounds funny, but this is a tragedy. I mean, this is tragic. And what I want to simply deliver with this story is every problem you and I have has got its consequences, whether it is positive or negative. But we will come back to that later on. Now, we have a man in the Bible who got involved into a big problem too. And of course, it was a bit different, but it was a big problem. Genesis 37, and I read from verse 12 to 17. Then his brothers, and it's about Joseph, then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, here I am. Then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. I very briefly recall the background of the story here for those who may not be 100% familiar with it. But Joseph was Jacob's favorite and youngest son. And Jacob made a big mistake in giving him a special garment to Joseph. And we particularly need to actually to pay attention to the cut of that garment, which has a vital significance in this context. Because the original word clearly points out that it was a long-sleeved coat. Now, all garments usually had three-quarter or shorter sleeves for practical reasons, you know, just normal practicalities in life. But you can't work with a long-sleeved coat, you see? But as favorite son, Joseph was not meant to work, you see? And his brothers hated him because of that. And then in 1 Chronicles 5, 1 and 2, we read about Reuben lost his first birthright because he defiled his father's bed, and his birthright was given to Joseph. Now, but Joseph's brothers hated him, and they could not stand him because of his silly dreams from God. That's what they thought. They were fed up with these stupid dreams Joseph is always going on about. And now, in this situation, Jacob, his father, sent Joseph into that situation to his brothers. Now, from Hebron to Shechem was about 50 miles, and that takes about 2 days' walk. Now, Joseph didn't take a taxi. He walked with his feet 2 days. I mean, when have you walked last 2 days? I don't think that has ever happened in my whole life. I've never walked for 2 days in one go. That is quite something. But can you guess what went through Joseph's mind during these 2 days? I mean, we are not told in the text, but what was he thinking? What would go through his mind? What was he pondering? I mean, if you had to travel to a certain city for 2 days to find your brothers, what do you think would go through your mind? And you know they don't have their mobile phone on them. What would you think? Well, you would think, oh, I hope I will find my brothers. I mean, you don't go for 2 days travel by walk and then you can't find your brothers. I mean, that would be terrible and come back without having found them. And you see, he was only 17 years old. Now, he was just a lad, a young lad. And he was really hoping that he would find his brothers. Now, he arrived in Shechem, but he couldn't find his brothers. Now, where are my brothers? What he was afraid of, exactly that happened. You see? And he was wandering in the field. That's what you read. He was lost. Lost. It's a bit like David Owen in the shops when he needs to find the right shelf. He was just out there here in the field wondering, where is my way? There was absolutely nobody out there in the wilderness. And it's maybe easy for us to read the story, you know, but if you put yourself into this 17-year-old lad's shoes, that's a different story. Maybe Joseph has never been so far away from home. We don't know. Sometimes what we are afraid of, exactly that happens. I remember when I was 19 years old, just 2 years older than Joseph, so I can understand him so well. When I was 19 years old, I went to England, first time on my own, flying. And I went in summer to have a great summer holiday. I was really looking forward, you know. I mean, I was studying English for 4 weeks. I took all my T-shirts with me, you know, and I was up to a great time. I had no clue what the weather is like in England. So Monday, it was rain. Tuesday, it was rain. Wednesday, it was rain and it was chilly every day. And I thought, my goodness, I'm cold. And the worst thing was I left all my jumpers at home. And then I was told that it is worse in Scotland. I tell you, I immediately made my mind up, I will never go to Scotland. Guess where I ended up 5 years later in Bible college? In Scotland, Edinburgh, Bible college. But there I was. After the holiday was over, I mean, the holiday was a studying holiday, you know, but it was still a holiday. It was over. I traveled home. Now, I encountered a big problem on the way home. I went into King's Cross and I realized the travel agency, you know, in those days, you had to book via a travel agency. And I realized they didn't give me enough time from King's Cross to the airport to actually catch my plane. And I had no clue about tubes. I just had no clue. And I was there totally lost. And I still couldn't speak English. I still can't now, really. But I was lost and I did not know how do I get to that airport. And I was lost, wandering around. And then suddenly one man stood in front of me. And he helped me and showed me where to go to. I was so thankful for that man. And he came with me a good part and showed me the way. I tell you, I was in that train to the airport and it was already far too late and I just envisaged myself lying on a bench overnight, having missed the plane, and I knew tomorrow morning I need to be back in the business school, and I was like really crying out to God, oh God, help me, help me. It was like one of these emergency help cries, please help me. And you know what? I arrived at the airport, yes, too late, but the airplane had a good delay and I just could catch my plane. You don't know how I was relieved. I mean, I was like relieved. So much. And, you know, I was totally wet, sweaty from running around and stress levels and everything. If you're in that situation, every problem seems to be so much bigger than it is. And it seems to be impossible to be solved. And do you know that if you face a problem in your life, it looks like Mount Everest. And you don't know how to climb over it. You don't have an answer for it. And I tell you now the definition of a problem. A problem is made for you and not against you. Otherwise, it would be called antiplum. But it's pro, problem. Pro means for you. Don't despise problems, but learn how. Can you turn problems into blessings? Now, in reality, problems are four things. It's a task to be solved. It's an interesting situation. It's a challenge and it's a chance. Now, I want you now to replace Joseph's name with your own name. When I read the following, Joseph was in a situation where a task needed to be solved. Joseph was in an interesting situation, although he didn't really think it was interesting. Joseph faced a challenge. And Joseph gave God a chance. Joseph gave God a chance. Now, give God a chance this very morning. He's looking for you. You know, some people don't care about God at all until they face a serious problem in their lives. Many times human beings
human beings just change literally their attitude when they face something they can't solve. And they start to pray. It's amazing. That's how human beings are. And if God doesn't answer very quickly, they blame him for it. Now, unfortunately, we are like that. Now, sometimes God sends a problem into our lives so that we start seeking God more. And here I'm not talking about sickness because God doesn't send sickness into our lives, but this would be another sermon. But your attitude and my attitude towards God and towards our circumstances can change your mess into your message and your test into your testimony. And that is the amazing thing. You see, it all comes down to our attitude, to our way of thinking and viewing God, viewing the circumstances. Problems are good for five things. First, to direct us. Some don't want to move. You know, they get stuck in a rut. I mean, God used the problem of persecution in the book of Acts. You know, the Christians who didn't want to move. You see, they had the same problem back then. So God sent the problem of persecution and they didn't move. Then, secondly, to inspect us. You only get to know people's character, what they are really like when they go through tough problems. You know, James doesn't say if problems take place, but when problems take place. James 1 verse 2. And in Genesis 22, it says, after all these things, God tested Abraham. What was that to Abraham? It was a big problem. It was a big situation there for him without a solution at the time. Now, thirdly, to correct us. Some lessons we only learn through mistakes and failures and pain. It's for our correction. And then another point is to protect us. Problems sometimes are to protect us. You see, later on, Joseph was sold to Egypt, which was a huge problem to him. And it was literally for his and his family's protection from death when that famine came in many years later. It was to protect them. And here, the fifth point, to perfect us. God is more interested in your character than your comfort. Trust me, he is. He is interested that we are getting shaped inside our character. That's what he's interested in, because that lasts forever. Now, I quickly want to mention another aspect of problems before we come to the highlight of the story here. God took away Joseph's colorful coat because he wanted to give him a better coat. That is so amazing. You see, later on, after Joseph found favor before Potiphar, Joseph received another coat and became the second greatest in Potiphar's house. Not long after that, God took that coat away again, which was a huge disappointment and problem to Joseph. He had to go right down to the pit, into the prison. But the reason for that was because God wanted to give him an even better coat later on. You see, after several years being in prison, God got him out and gave him the best coat he ever had in his life. You see,
He was the highest ruler in Egypt, just under Pharaoh. In those days, you wore clothes according to your position. Isn't that amazing? So if something is taken away from you, you don't let it be a problem to you. It's because God is up to something better for you. Praise God. Now, listen very carefully. We come now to the highlight of the story. We read, now a certain man found him. Wow. Do you know what that means? That implies a certain man was seeking for Joseph. You can only find somebody when you seek somebody. Can you? That makes sense, doesn't it? That Joseph was absolutely alone out there in the field. There was nobody else around there. Now, there was nobody there, and suddenly a man stood before him. Who was that man who suddenly appeared out of nowhere? What did that man do out there? Isn't that interesting? Now, it was a man who was seeking Joseph, the scripture says. That sounds interesting to me. Listen, what that certain man asked Joseph, what are you seeking? So he said, I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. We are not told out of the text here who that certain man was who suddenly appeared, but we have clues. I believe that man was an angel or Jesus himself. We don't know for sure, and I'm not dogmatic on it, but it's very interesting that this certain man said in the conversation with Joseph, I heard them say, regarding Joseph's brothers. If this man was a normal man, a normal human being, he must have just literally passed by Joseph's brothers at this very moment when one of the brothers said, let us go to Dothan. Otherwise, he never would have picked up these words out there in the field. And if it was a normal man, why should he have sought Joseph anyway? So Jesus or an angel was looking for Joseph when Joseph couldn't find his way. When Joseph literally faced a big problem in his life. It was the moment when Joseph desperately needed help. Now the good news is this morning that Jesus is looking for you and me. He's looking for every single one. And Jesus asks the same question to us as that certain man asked Joseph. I'm seeking you, but what are you seeking? What are you and I seeking this morning? What are we seeking? Are we seeking the way? Are we seeking the way to heaven? Are we seeking peace? Are we seeking an answer? Are we seeking a solution for a problem? Why are we here in church? What are we seeking? Are we seeking friendship? What are our hearts seeking? Maybe Jesus has put a problem into your life that you may seek him much more and that you may give God a chance. Because when we face a problem, we have got to make a decision. What do we do with it? How do we tackle it? How do we approach it? You see, your problem is not made against you, but for you. And this is a very important view. But the question this morning is, what are you and I doing with our problem? I said at the very beginning, every problem has got a positive or a negative consequence. It's up to you and me if we give God a chance or not. If I hadn't cried out there in King's Cross, I don't know what would have happened. I don't know if I would have slept on the bench, on a hard bench, with a troubled heart. I don't know if I would still be there. You see, I don't know if that man would have come. Who could have been an angel? We don't know. But it is so important to seek God in our problems. Not to turn against him and blame him and say, oh, if you loved me, why did that happen? That's a wrong attitude. Because maybe we think in our back of our mind, you know, God can't help me in my situation. He's too busy. He's not interested. That's not true. It's a lie from hell. Because God loves everyone so much. Praise God. Maybe your problem is something you don't want to give up. You know, if you come to Jesus, you want to really go wholeheartedly, and maybe there's something which stops you, or like sand in the engine. You know, you need to get the sand out. I remember very well, many years ago, when I was still a teenager, I was in a camp in Italy, and God spoke to me very clearly, and he said, do you want to give me you all? And I exactly knew what he was talking about. There was a certain thing in my life I didn't want to give up. I couldn't. And I went out there in the field. It was next to a train line. And I was on my own, and I cried out to God. And I said, it's so hard. I can't give it to you. It bleeds my heart, but I want to give it to you. And I gave God my all right there in the field. My all. I was there full surrendered to God. And in that moment, a train went through just behind me. It was in front of me, like a flash with such a noise. And it was like a confirmation from God, I've heard you. And the peace of God just came, flooded into my heart. It was amazing. And everything looked different afterward. I could hear the birds singing. I had that deep, deep peace in my heart. And I'm so glad I surrendered my whole life. You see, Jesus asks you now and me, do you give me a chance to help you? Do you give me your problems? Do you give me your difficulties? Do you trust me in all your situations? Do you give me your all, yourself? Everything you have and everything you are. And praise God. We can make a decision this morning. Do we want to do that? Do we come to him now totally surrendered and I say, I'm sorry where I did hold back. I'm sorry when I didn't give you a chance, when I tried to do things on my own. I'm sorry when I neglected you. I'm sorry when I didn't actually seek you on this matter. I'm sorry, Lord. But I want to come now to you. I want to give my all to you and surrender my life to you, Jesus Christ.